It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are off and running on this 28th day of December 2020, as 2020, the nightmare plague year, lurches toward its finale on Thursday night. Oh, goodness me. And, so that means that there are 3 days remaining in this nightmare plague year, and it's not going to quit until it's completely over. And there are 23 days until the beginning of 2021 in earnest. Christmas Day proved to us that this year is just not going to give up the ghost until it has done as much damage and created as much chaos and consternation as it possibly can. Hi, I'm Bob, and it's Moran Monday on the horn. Quick program note, everything should be hunky-dory today, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. And then no program on Friday, so we will have a Thursday on the front porch. But Friday, New Year's Day, I will again be cooking my tookus off. Okay, no, we don't even want to think about that. No, we just don't. But there's going to be, you know, look, 2020 has been such a beast of a year. I'm doing everything I can, even though I'm a skeptic and a rationalist, I'm doing all I can to muster up as much luck for 2021 as I can, so all the good-look foods are getting cooked. The black-eyed peas, the cooked cabbage, the fried hog jowl on biscuits, and because I'm not willing to forfeit anything in the way of luck at this point in time. And so this program, like every other program, begins with gratitude. And thus, our thanks go out to our subscribers from the 25th, the 26th, the 27th, and the 28th of the year. That means thanks going out to Peter and to Suman. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Sharon. Thank you, Randy in PA. Thank you to Robert in Australia. Thank you to Ralphs. Thank you to Peter. Thank you to Mark and Mark. The 25th is the Mark and Mark day for subscribers. Thank you to Mark and Mark. And thank you one and all for being partial sponsors of the program and helping to keep it on the air. It is much appreciated. Thank you. First past the post at the beginning of the program to Jeremy in Vermont. And by the way, I got a note from Jeremy. Jeremy sent me a photograph of his Palmans. And said, as have others, they really are that good. They just got here this afternoon, and Jeremy's already into them. It's hard not to. Believe you me, it is difficult not to get into them just the minute that you lay your hands on them. So, another year to pass by, and then hopefully this time next year, if everything continues apace, there will be another chance for 4 people, or I don't know how many people. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself there. There will be another chance for people who have never tried Palmans to have their own. And thanks so much to our buddy Paul from Parts Unknown for the enormous amount of time that it takes to handcraft each and every Palmand. And thank you. Thank you indeed. And so also an update. Let's see. Where are we? Fundraising-wise, we need to raise $295 this evening. Well, $290 now with Jeremy first past the post, because Jeremy was actually first past the post on Thursday. So there's $290 to finish this evening. And there won't be a program on Friday. So that's about all of that. An update on the GoFundMe campaign. I'm happy to announce we've gotten past the cost of the surgery, the initial surgery itself. And now we are working toward getting me to where I can have the reconstructive work so that I can get back to the business of broadcasting, not sounding like Sylvester the Cat. So we'll cross fingers for that, too. Thank you to each and every person who has jumped in on that. Now, let me see, just as a matter of curiosity. We have had 62 people kick in on the crowdfunding campaign. And sharing it several times. By the way, there's still the button right there at headon.live. If you want to help out on the oral surgery, the button's there, and it's easy to click and fairly easy to negotiate the interface. So we'll keep this thing going and hopefully get it completely funded, and that way we'll be able to do what needs doing in the coming year. And I'm hoping to get it scheduled sooner rather than later, but I'd like to make sure that we can do everything that needs to be done, because I don't want to leave me just kind of hanging in a lurch, having had the surgery and then not able to do anything to fix the problems that creates. But we will worry about that at another time. And so I thank you all who have kicked in on that so very kindly. Thanks as well to our buddy Dave in Kentucky, Stan, and thank you to Brandon and Fennell in Brooklyn at the post office. I'm still looking for another parcel. Hopefully it'll be here tomorrow. Crossing fingers. All right, so here we are. It is the last Moran Monday of 2020, a year that has been replete with more Morans than we can probably count or wish to count. And we have good news from our buddy Megan. Megan said, update. Got COVID results on Christmas. I'm negative. Yay, Megan! Big ovation. Big ovation. We are so glad to hear that, Megan. So very glad indeed. And then, of course, Bob! As I made my way home last Monday from Georgia, including Atlanta and Cobb County, upon crossing the Georgia-Tennessee state line just outside of Chattanooga, I flipped on the local FM stations after hearing all of the AM stations' stupid commercials for Perfidu and Kelly Waffler. Those are quality. And instantly, on came one of the classic Christmas songs of all time, Dolly Parton's Hard Candy Christmas. Well, that was about all I could take, as I was tired and sore from campaigning the previous 2 days before, and I had to just get off the highway and have a good cry, because for so many this Christmas they were about to experience would be one of the most difficult Christmas days ever. Yes, giraffery. Yes, there's no point in trying to sugarcoat the facts, so I will be candid, not that's candid, with you. This was likely to be a real hard Christmas for so many. In the song, Dolly just laments about a horrible Christmas she was about to encounter because of all the sorrow she had experienced in her life from the previous year. Throughout the song, she tries to convince herself that she will be fine this Christmas, when she knows in reality this coming Christmas will be hell for her. This was exactly how Christmas was going to be this year for so many of us out there. With 320,000 plus Americans dead from COVID, that means upwards of a million grieving Americans left behind, if not more. For so many people who had lost loved ones, to those who made the wise decision to not to visit family considering the potential danger of the contagious COVID, Jeffrey and I were crying when we heard Steve in New York City, a Buckeye through and through, when he sobbed over not being able to travel to Canada to see his beloved or even return to visit relatives in Ohio. While so many are suffering from the loss of their livelihood, not sure where their next meal is coming from or where the hell they're going to live, this asshole president of ours was playing another round of golf and getting ready for another round of pardons. Trump kept hitting the ball in the bunkers all day long, which prompted one of his fellow golfers to comment, "Yeah, might want to get used to those bunkers." Sister Carol Baker commented to me on Facebook that Trump is not our president. And Jeffrey replied, "Well, hell, Sister Carol, Trump is the best Russian president we've ever had." Yep. Of course, Dolly got her start in Nashville, and on Christmas Day, some 63-year-old terrorist decided to try to make some kind of point by blowing up a building. Jeffrey and I visited that exact area around this time last year when we returned from Florence, Alabama, after seeing Bob and his award-winning performance of King Henry II in the play The Lion in Winter. Well, that would actually be probably the 17th or 18th of January, but who's counting, right, Joey? The goddess of irony never sleeps because Giraffe and I ate at B.B. King's restaurant exactly one block from where the blast took place this Christmas Day in Nashville, and that was January 19th earlier this year. We had a great time that day, and then we took a walk down to the Cumberland River where we took a picture of the Titans' Nissan Field. Jeffrey was all excited because he thought he was going to see the Titans play that day, but unfortunately they were playing in Kansas City. I told Jeffrey since we could not see the Titans play the Chiefs at Nissan Field that day that I would buy him a Nissan Titan. "Honest to goodness, I really will, Jeffrey." Jeffrey replied, "We were just saying the honest engine because they were playing the Chiefs. You're not going to buy me a truck." "Yeah, you're right, Jeffrey. That was just a pickup line. Pick up, get it, Titan, truck." Oh, yes, indeed. However, we still had a wonderful day. And Jeffrey explains, "Yes, we had a real blast that day, and it looks like the good people of Nashville had a blast on Christmas Day, too." Yeah, we should have known that was coming from that blasted giraffe. Then I turned on the television this morning, and there was the mayor of Nashville directly avoiding calling the bombing an act of terrorism. You know, I'll bet if the bomber would not have been a white man, or the mayor would have told Allison Camarota of CNN that this was certainly an act of terror. You know, if the bomber had been African American, Asian descent, or oh my God. But rather than Middle Eastern descent, they would have labeled him a Muslim Kenyan terrorist. Sure. Oh God, there's Jeffrey. Yes, they would have called him the Muslim Kenyan terrorist Obama. God, where does he come up with these? More importantly, what can we do about it? So even though the mayor of Nashville has a D after his name, he still could not call a white man a terrorist for attempting to take down the largest building in the city called the Batman Building. The NHL team in Nashville is known as the Predators, and I'm sure Batman and Robin would label this man as a predatory terrorist, even if the mayor could not. However, the real terrorists in Tennessee this Christmas are there are two senators. One, Marsha Blackburn, who constantly... Marsha. Goodness! Who constantly rails on the national debt, but is always in line for a tax cut for the rich. And Lamar Alexander, the plaid Avenger, who's the real Nero in Nashville. Jeffrey explains. Yes, it appears that during Christmas, while Nashville was burning after the bombing, Lamar Alexander was still playing his fucking piano. And it was not Elton John who said, "Don't shoot me, I'm just a piano player. You know, I think I have an idea." No, Jeffrey, we don't want to become terrorists like the Republicans, and that's only a joke, Agent Fred. So, and in addition, you know, Lamar Alexander will not be a senator anymore after January the 3rd, because that's when this godforsaken Congress ends. So Trump finally signed the relief package last night. And this means, and tell me if I'm wrong, but this means Perfidu and Wofler are going to have to cast a vote on whether the people of this country will see a $600 stimulus or a $2,000 stimulus. Oh, and just for what it's worth, remember those commercials I was speaking of in the first paragraph? Well, both Perdue and Wofler reiterated in one of those radio commercials that they thought that giving the people a large stimulus was a waste of taxpayer money. We'll just see what they do now while the people of Georgia are watching. Yes, Giraffe. Joey, do you remember what you told that one lady last week when we were doing the door knock walk? She asked you, how does Wofler pronounce her last name? Yes, Jeffrey, I politely told the woman that Wofler pronounces her name Robot Bitch and Perdue pronounces his Robot Chicken. Ah, that's good. This has been, of course, Joey's Journal for Monday, the 28th day of December, 2020, with Giraffe doing the Robot Chicken Dance down to Georgia. Yes, photos attached of that day, January 19th, as they headed home. As they headed home to the greater Cleveland area. Meanwhile, Silent R. Lamar, got to be careful with these because when you send a note that says, I got my test back today, there's a certain amount of, angst that comes with that. But Silent R. Lamar says, I got my test back today. Oh, Bob, I tested positive. Yes, Bob, I was tested positive today, and they told me the test proved that I positively dislike Trump and the Republican Party. Whew. You scared me for a minute, Silent R. You scared me. Easy. Don't do that. Don't do that to your friendly neighborhood hillbilly conversation host, please. On the other hand, good news. Paul from Parts Unknown tells me that he mailed out our Paulmans today and that he tested negative for COVID-19. So glad to hear that, Paul. So, so very glad. And yes, a reverse cowbell for Giraffery. That's a gnur, according to Steve in New York. Because of the bad puns, I extol extremely to remove certain cowbells from a recently unfunny giraffe as a comedian. He bombed, and not in a good way. Bombed. Yeah. You're not helping matters any, Dave and the blind. P.S. I love my new blind. Dave has moved into a new blind. Oh, these days. Steve in New York. Silent R, you get a big fat gnur for that. Yes, that is a gnur. Yes, in point of fact, getting to some early food porn, Elbert in Rhode Island wants to know, do you add rice to your black-eyed peas? It's a wonderful dish. Yes, we do, and it's called Hoppin' John. Black-eyed peas, rice, a little fat back or hog jowl fat for flavor, and you can kick in some chopped onions, chopped jalapeno, bring it. Yeah. But it is absolutely delicious. Eat it once a year. We eat it for about a week once a year. But I'm looking forward to it, as well as the cabbage. And I just have to be careful about stuff with a lot of potassium in it. So, and then the big experiment is going to be, and it'll probably go into the brine on early Wednesday morning. I've been mentioning this, and I'm getting myself more and more and more excited about it. The big deal is going to be the fresh hams, because the Wiggling Pig has fresh, uncured hams. And so I'm going to cure one myself. And into the brine bucket will go about 2 cups of kosher salt, and a cup of brown sugar. And I'll add in allspice and whole cloves, stick cinnamon, dried ginger, nutmeg, and let that all cure for brine soak cure for about 2 days. And then early on New Year's Day, put it on the smoker to smoke. Let it get some, 4 hours or so of dense hickory smoke. And then Agnes will come out and do her magic, putting a glaze on it, and then we will cover it and continue to roast it for another 4 hours or so. It's actually, it's looking a little sketchy for New Year's Eve. I hope I'll be able to smoke. A 70% chance of rain. But temperatures will be tolerable. Maybe it won't just be some driving, pouring rain. And we are over the hump in terms of brutally cold weather here for a while. And crossing my fingers that we will have a halfway decent ending to this nightmare year. The Christmas holiday itself, and I hope yours was as good or better. We maintained social distance. We stayed within our family group. And ate heartily all day long. I've still got a few things left over to cook, and I intend to do so. And for anybody who's not a big fish fan, this method that Brother Deacon Asa taught me for doing a whole slab of salmon, or any small portion of salmon for that matter, is just the best I've ever seen. Again, it's the kosher salt and the brown sugar, and you make it sticky with some egg white. You season your salmon any way you want. In my case, we use lemon and dill because that's just the best flavor combination. And you encase the salmon completely in that salt sugar paste. And you let it sit for a few hours. As long as you like, really. The longer it sits, the saltier it'll be. And then whenever you feel like you're at least 2 hours, but whenever you're ready, you rinse all of that off, get it nice and rinsed off, and then reseason with the lemon and dill in our case, and then smoke it. And it really doesn't take very long at all to smoke. Because, like I was telling Roger from Oregon on Thursday, you really can't achieve a true cold smoke with one of these smokers. It's really hard to maintain anything under 200 degrees, but, the lower the better. And my heavenly days, all the nasty fishiness comes out for people who don't like fishy fish. And the lemon and the dill just, oh. And so, as promised, our eldest got salmon and capers and sour cream and onion and tomato and rye bread. And apparently, it didn't last very long. So that's usually a good sign. No New Year's lentils? Oh, don't give me something else to add to it, Flavio. In Portugal and Brazil, they have lentils for good luck, prosperity on New Year's Eve. I guess maybe because they look like little coins when they're cut, maybe. But every culture has some sort of New Year's tradition, even the ones that don't celebrate New Year's at the Western European New Year's. But most of it centers on luck and having a lot of the good kind. And that's going to take a lot of doing for 2021. But we at least have thus far had the good fortune to know that we are going into this new year and that we will see the back of Donald Trump, hopefully, forevermore. Hopefully. And a note coming for Megan from Jude in the Great Northwest, a photograph of two of the chairs that were on the deck on a chilly, foggy evening where Jude stayed at the Molloy North Georgia Mountain getaway back in, two summers back, was it? Jude says it was last week when first hearing of your need to isolate after the diagnosis. Please know these chairs positioned close together have been my visual to be able to align with your wellness of being. So good to hear your test was negative. Be good to you. Peace, Jude. And those chairs really were neat. Iron, and they kind of look like they've got a sort of anthropomorphic quality to them, and they lean toward each other. It was nice. Yeah, I know. Silent R. Lamar says, I was just pushing for some time. Hell, since I can't get a cowbell, I take what I can get. Well, you got a great big Gineer, so enjoy your Gineer. That's R-I-N-G spelled backwards. Enjoy, by all means, in good health. Silent R. And, of course, the question, if it's uncured, is it a ham? And I think it is, because that particular cut of the pig is referred to as the ham. So, yeah. I think it is. I think it is, James. Maybe I'm wrong, but it'll by God be cured by the time I'm done with it. A joke that the Vicar of Dibley told the British show, The Vicar of Dibley. Not sure why I suddenly thought of this joke, Stephen, New York says. Man knocks at the door of the convent. The nun, who's naked, having just gotten out of the shower and still unclothed, goes to the door and asks, who is it? Man says, it's the blind man. Nun says, oh, come on in. Man says, nice rack. Where do you want me to hang the blinds? Ah. Jesus Christ. Oh, Gineer, 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 Gineer. What a horrible thought, Flavio says, that some 70 million still voted for the son of a bitch after 4 years of kleptocracy. Well, there's, it is, I was corresponding earlier today with our buddy Dr. John in New Mexico about exactly that, well, sort of that topic. And I remarked to him that that stupidity is running alongside the COVID-19 virus and is every bit as contagious. And Dr. John, who really isn't kidding, he knows of which he speaks, says, I know just enough about epigenetics to think you might be really onto something. What other explanation is there? And from the Department of, oh, really? No, shit. Ralphs lets us know that Representative Gwen Moore, a Wisconsin Democrat, has announced she tested positive for COVID-19. Well, Representative Moore, Godspeed and a quick healing to you. Indeed, indeed. Yeah, that's true. New Year's food, Lee in New York tells me. It reminds me, rather, the Jewish New Year is celebrated with honey in hope of a sweet year. Honey and apples, isn't it? Sweet and fruitful? Something like that, yes? Ah, come on, Stephen, New York says. It's good, somewhat sordid British humor. Oh, yeah, it is. It absolutely is. Just, it kind of came out of the blue, and, yeah. Let me see here. Making sure the stress line's on. Which it is. And, Jude had asked me about the phone number. And so that number, the stress line number, is 844-THE-HORN. That's 844-843-4676. And Lee in New York reminds us, when you're done with the ham, it will not only be cured, it'll be vaccinated. Yeah, okay, little bitty. Yeah, tiny. I've been getting some performance advice on being a little more stingy with the cowbell. So, yeah. There you go. This was a good thing, Steve in New York says. I mentioned to a guy working at a store I go to a lot that I'm going to be 50 this Saturday. He literally wouldn't believe me, so I showed him my license. He said he thought I was in my 30s. So, as Carl and Caddyshack said, I've got that going for me. And remember, most Donald Trump impressions are merely a combination of Carl the assistant greenskeeper from Caddyshack and Bubbles from Trailer Park Boys. And now I'll get an email from Darlene in Connecticut telling me to lay the hell off Bubbles. It's not a reflection on his character. Obviously, Bubbles has far better morals than Donald Trump. It's just the sound of the voice. And Kyle, with a note from Kentucky Stan, 74 plus million people in the United States, voters, are racist, homophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-democracy, and or stupid. It's not exactly a comforting thought. And no, it is exactly not a comforting thought. There's no getting around that. It's absolutely true. And this is the country that we live in. And so, of course, I guess the top story to go back. Well, wait, let me check. Here's a message from. I said good luck, not good look. Brother Deacon says, I don't know, Bob. I'm going to miss 2020 when it's gone. Well, there's a certain, there is indeed a certain misgiving I have about wishing 2020 away and thinking 2021 is going to be ever so much better. Not sure, but God, we got to have done with this. I did not say all the good look foods. I said all the good luck foods. Brother Deacon Asa said, I'm assuming you meant all the good luck foods, unless you've got secret knowledge of foods what make you look gooder. Brother Deacon, if I had a secret list of foods that make you look gooder, do you think I'd have a face made for radio? Really? And so, with the broadcast begun, lighting up our bourbon oak moss amber cedar candle seems nice for this time of year, and it certainly helps out in the studio. Oh, and Jeremy says the subject line cowbell. That's a large, loud gnurr for you. A large, loud gnurr for the you should be more stingy with the cowbell. Well, I will take that under advisement, Jeremy. Let's see. Darlene asks a question. What is the best vehicle through which to donate to Ossoff and Warnock's campaigns? Directly through their respective websites. I'm getting emails daily from various senders, and it seems the contribution would be split between the candidates in Act Blue or Flip Georgia or whatever. And yeah, Bob and the other Horn listeners, lay the hell off Giraffe and Bubbles. I think both are splendid in their own special and respective ways. See? Giraffe has a defender. And Bubbles. Even though he doesn't know it. I love Cat Food Mountain. I'm inclined to say give it to the individual campaigns, although Stacey Abrams' group is doing a hell of a lot of heavy lifting. Look for the Stacey Abrams group is what I would do, Darlene. But that's me. Bob, stop telling us how to donate to Ossoff and Warnock. Saw that coming. And this from Greg. So I happened upon some comments made by a couple of triggered MAGA snowflakes who were all up in arms and whining about having to wear masks to protect themselves and others from the Trump flu COVID-19 virus. And I was truly impressed by how much ignorance really is bliss. One called the masks filthy and bacteria infected and wondered how such PPE could save anyone's life was beyond her, and I couldn't help but wonder myself too. But what I wondered about was, where did she put her mouth for a mask to become so putrid from it? I mean, it has to be her mouth rather than what it filters from getting inside that soiled mouth, right? I hope she doesn't engage in too much unprotected kissing. Yeah. I also wonder if she's so bent out of shape about filthy bacteria-ridden masks affecting her health, if she washes them very often, like after every time she wears one, or perhaps only as often as she washes her bed sheets. FYI, dirty bacteria in bed sheets are linked to a host of nasty diseases, such as pneumonia, gonorrhea, and Lemierre syndrome, new research reveals. Another tweaked-out maggot was decrying the burdensome outrageousness of being required to wear masks, both at work or just out among citizenry at large. And I wondered how she'll wear a mask at work, but damn it, if she's going to be in any store, bar, or other public venue, she'll exert her God-given rights not to wear one. Also, she further says she's going to consult with a lawyer and see if, seriously, there's something she can damn well do to stop this iniquitous and excessive trampling of our individual rights and freedoms, because the stress and anxiety of it all is hampering not only her lifestyle, but her performance at work, too. Grrr. I'm not sure if she intends to contact more repressively subjugated and tyrannized maggots and perhaps file a class action lawsuit, and maybe even one to include all of the U.S. at that. But considering her persecuted attitude precludes any consideration for the welfare of others, I do have my doubts that it might. If I hear more, I'll keep you posted, so watch this space. Until then, power to the people.
Right on.
I think that was a sarcastic right on from Greg. Steve in New York says, Act Blue is the best one. I don't know that I agree, because I think Stacey Abrams' group deserves all the support that it can get. Oh, well, we're going to stand on principle, aren't we here? Steve in New York says, okay, I coined the Gnur term. I'm going to object to people's over-awarding of Gnurs. It was only meant to be a prophylactic from too many cowbells. I meant it to be more of a shield than a sword. Oh, I've been waiting for 5 o'clock Eastern time to come around. Since Thursday at 9. It happens that way. Megan saying thank you to Jude. Your well wishes are much appreciated. Also glad to hear the show is smacking the funny bone tonight. I'm giggling while navigating Nova traffic. That's Northern Virginia. No, Joey, don't make a pun out of that. You should know better by now, Megan. You should know better by now. I have no doubt whatsoever that that will be in Joey's journal for Trump, the final Trump-tanic Tuesday of 2020. Well, that certainly is disgusting. Any way you slice it, disgusting. As far as the triggered MAGA snowflakes that Greg was writing about, Brother Deacon Asa says, as to the putrid masks comment, here's rule number one about masks and PPE in general. Don't toss the salad while wearing the mask. Salad tossing, 40 minutes into the last Morian Monday of the tired old year. And as to other comparisons to Nitwit Nero, James in Illinois reminds us, the Don is Eric Cartman, age progressed. Yeah, that makes sense, too. He really did. He golfed all weekend while people wondered where their next meal was coming from. He golfed while people were living with gut-bending concern over whether they would see $600 or $2,000. Well, having cheated people out of a week of unemployment, because that's how long that's one of the net effects of the delay that he engaged in. He stiffed people out of a week of unemployment. The House of Representatives scheduled a vote for today on the question of changing the $600 to $2,000 per Nitwit Nero's request. They tried it on Thursday. That failed. They tried to do it by unanimous consent, and the leader, the minority leader of the Republican Party in the House, Kevin McCarthy of California, said, nope, folks don't need it. So much for making America great again, or America first. But the thing is, in the House today, bringing the issue back to the floor they would need two-thirds of the full House to do it, and then it would go to the Senate. Well, even if they get the two, or got the two-thirds, chinless Mitch McConnell's simply not going to take it up. That's all. Now, this is curious, okay? And I'm pretty sure somebody in the MAGA administration knows how this works. If Nitwit Nero really wanted people to have those $2,000 checks, all he'd have to do would be to tell Mike Pence, because he knows that Mike Pence is the president of the Senate constitutionally, because over the course of the weekend we had a story in which it was reported that he, Nitwit Nero, had been ranting and raving at Mike Pencil Neck Geek, asking why couldn't he just go in and make him president on January 6th. So he knows that the vice president has some power that he can wield as president of the Senate. Theoretically, Pence could march right in, withdraw the delegation of authority to Mitch McConnell, take control of the Senate, and see to it that that bill was attended to, the $2,000, see that it was attended to, hold a vote on it, and maybe get enough to get it through. But the problem is, as Joey and Giraffe alluded to earlier, the problem is Kelly Loeffler and David Perfidu, because they're on record as not thinking that the American people need that $2,000, which the American people desperately do need. So it's a bit of a conundrum for Moscow Mitch. And the best bet is to try to keep it from coming to the floor at all. But that's going to be hell on wheels for Moscow Mitch come 2022, when it becomes necessary through another third of the Senate to stand for election. It's a, as I said, hot mess. And it's a brutal piece of cynicism. You know, a real president, if he really, really wanted the American people to have $2,000 checks, would not would have said so on, say, a Christmas Day address. And he would have called on the Congress not to leave until they had taken care of the suffering of the American people. But he never actually cared about it. It was just another PR feint, another publicity dodge from a guy who has spent his entire life inflating his own value and telling lies to try to keep attention on him. And so, you know, here we are. Although I guess maybe it qualifies as something resembling good news that it's now being reported that the $600 checks, such as they are, well, if he had signed the bill a week ago, and again, he could have still called for the $2,000 but signed the bill, and that would have meant checks and money started, I say checks going out, that some through the mail, certainly. But the electronic transfers could have taken place within these next few days and could have been in people's pockets by New Year's Day. Instead, it's hoped that people would begin to see them, according to the Treasury Department, that people will see them within the first week or begin to see them within the first week of the new year. This is, after all, still the Maggot administration, and this is still a gang of footpads, cut purses, highwaymen, sneak thieves, sycophants, lick spittles, toadies, and bootlicks who could screw up a one-car parade. But according to NBC News, Treasury does still anticipate being able to start delivering the $600 payments in the COVID relief legislation by the end of this week. Of course, the end of this week is January 1st. There won't be any banks open on January 1st. Maybe it'll be in your account. Maybe it won't be. But I wish, and with reference to that previous 74 million people who voted for this harangutan, they probably won't ascribe the blame where it needs to be. Yeah. I hate to say it, Stephen, New York points out, but I was right about those $2,000 checks. It was nothing more than him trying to stick his finger in Mitch's eye. Yeah, and play psychopathically with the feelings of and the desperation of families hurting, aching, suffering all across this country. Well, you knew there was a risk. Billable said, damn it, Bob. I just tossed my turkey sandwich after hearing the salad tossing reference 10 minutes in your past. You should know by now. I mean, this really is sort of a caveat emptor sort of situation. Or, to be properly Latin about it and gather the sense of what we do here, caveat auditor. Let the listener beware. And not just golfing, says James in Illinois. Nitwit Nero's golfing for dollars. I'll bet he clears $100,000 a day housing all of his security and staff, including everyone he lured down there to beg him to sign bills. This is not to mention everyone, foreign and domestic, who wants to lobby him or for legislation or favors or bribes and or pardons. We need to claw it all back if we can find an untainted judge. Yeah, I agree. Oh, and thank you to Greg. Thank you very kindly, Greg. Greg just doubled his Patreon subscription. Thank you very much, Greg. It is most helpful. Well, that's true. Randy and PA pointing out, count your blessings with Trump. At least he didn't pocket veto the bill. That would have pushed it off until the next session, and it would have had to be reintroduced. That's true, too. Although, Randy, I suspect that plans are already underway post-January 20th to actually introduce something new that will be more helpful. Something more sustaining for people. It's getting a little frigid here in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. Just sent a message to Agnes to see if she'd pop in and change the gas bottle whilst I continue doing the program so I don't have to take a long break to do that. It's also a way to lure Agnes back here because, well, I love to see the emails that she gets when she says hi. Yeah, Lou, thank you very kindly. Lou, January 5th, Georgia reminder. We could really use those two seats. Lou, you're absolutely right. And I saw some rather hopeful numbers. 52-48 and 52-46. Ossoff and Warnock up in both of those. Do not count your chickens before they're hatched. Hell, don't even count the eggs before they're laid. But if we can keep working at it, we got a chance. We got a puncher's chance on January 5th. So that means there are 8 days. Tomorrow will be 1 week to Election Day in Georgia, and we will all probably be, the entire nation, or at least the decent ones, not the maggots, the entirety of decent America will be biting its nails down to the quicks in hopes of getting a post-Christmas, post-New Year's gift of a 50-50 tie in the Senate and being able to send Moscow Mitch packing. And, you know, Moscow Mitch is a vindictive piece of shit. And he's watching the polls. Now, if you look at his numbers in Kentucky, it's possible to wonder if he knows anything about fixes being in any voting machines. If he's nervous, there's a reason. And God, I hope he's nervous. Thanks again, Lou. January 5th, Georgia. A nation turns its weary eyes to you, Georgia. And in terms of how to give, actually going to both candidates' respective websites when you donate, it's all through, Darlene says, it's all through secure.actblue.com, so LOL. It's all Act Blue. And so maybe I was wrong. And that's entirely possible. Bob, stop telling us you need to ration cowbells. You know that's Billable Rick, right? Of course it is. No salad tossing. You people. You people. Scott in San Diego says, no salad tossing. I get that, but can I still play with my own salad shooter? Should have known better than to open that email. I really should have. As for cowbells and gunners, Lee in New York says, give what you want when you want. I will only ever suggest a comment that I believe merits a cowbell and has not yet received one. Limited quantities are in stock. Thank you, Lee. Is it me? Says Stephen, New York. Does it seem like a lot of people had pent-up horn comments and snark from the Friday to Sunday horn drought? It kind of, yeah. And Steve, you got a gnur because anarchy. Jeremy in Vermont gave you a gnur for telling us how and when we can use the gnur. It's part of the horn family language now. No takebacks, says Jeremy. Yeah, I think there is a lot of pent-up angst. And so, woke up Christmas morning and picked up my portable tracking device. And there it was. Explosion in Nashville said to be intentional. Oh, dear. And so I immediately fired up MSNBC, and, well, they were talking about not that, so I had to go over to CNN, where it was all they talked about for the rest of the day. I, probably like you, was immediately convinced that it probably was a maggot or some such. I was wrong. For once, they actually looked up the bastard's voting record, and he did not have a history of voting in recent elections. Now, this is not an indication that he wasn't a maggot. And the fact that the maggots were immediately on scene in the comments section of various news channels, particularly in Nash, Vegas, declaring that any number of conspiracies to explain the explosion in downtown Nashville, pretty much smack dab in the tourist riverfront entertainment area, an old part of town, and it was a hell of a blast. You know the details now. RV playing a weird recording. On the one hand, there was a speaker attached, and he was the bomber was locally terrorist. The white terrorist was broadcasting Petula Clark, I think it was, singing Downtown. Now, had it been up to me, and had I been the crazy guy, maybe I would have stayed with Downtown, but I think I would have gone with a different version. And that is the Mrs. Miller version. God, I heard about this eons ago. You might want to get the hockey puck or make sure the cats can't hear this because they will begin to yowl.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. You've got worries and all the noise and the hurry seem to help, I know. Listen to the music of the traffic in the city. Linger on the sidewalk where the neon signs are pretty. How can you lose? The lights are much brighter there. You can forget all your troubles, forget all your cares. Go downtown. Things will be great when you're down.
Man, she was so close. She was just, you know, just one beat behind everything. And Randy's right. It's more disaster porn, Bob. Poverty kills more people than any. If it bleeds, it leads disaster porn in the media. You're absolutely right. So there he was. Say hi, Agnes.
Hi, Agnes.
She came back. She won't let me freeze.
Hi, everybody.
Yes?
I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas or however you celebrate the holidays.
Yes, and there's another one coming up.
Oh, God, I know. 2021. Happy New Year.
Thank you, dear.
Let it be a good one. You're welcome, love.
Ah, and so now we can hopefully get it up above 56 degrees. What was that caterwauling? Asks Randy in PA. That was Mrs. Miller. She had 15 minutes of fame back in the 1960s with that, and she also did a version of Hard Day's Night that will be hard to forget. But there was the RV playing downtown, and then the countdown started, and cops rushed door to door trying to make sure everybody was evacuating, if possible. There were as many people as they could get to, and then boom. But like I said, the maggots were quick. The fighting keyboard warriors of the maggot army were at the ready, declaring. And I saved this because it's a special kind of nuts that you only get with a maggot. My buddy Stefan alerted me to this. Top fan Don Huff said on one of the news channels there, and this was after the news conference, the explosion was across the street, not the RV. Watch the video from the other angles. It was inside a building, another cover-up. Twitter removed a Taylor Swift comment warning folks not to go to Nashville on Christmas. Swift is an avid Biden supporter and known Luciferian. Check it out yourself. Don't believe me. Do your own research. Which is a way of saying don't check it out. You're not going to find anything that I've found to be true. And for all we know, Don Huff may be some dude in a basement in fucking St. Petersburg, Russia. How about that? Tay-Tay is an avid Biden fan and a known Luciferian. Well, bust my buttons. And so the crazy has gone on like that. There was another another nutty about how one of those buildings was being used to store voting machines, and now they've all been destroyed. Well, hold on for a minute, por favor. Why would you want to check into voting machines in Tennessee? Tennistan went roundly and soundly for Nitwit Nero and all the other godforsaken Republicans on the ballot. But, well, don't even try because it's just, well, forget it, Jake. It's Maggot Town. Yes. Hi, Agnes from everybody. This is Lee in New York. Yes, I overstepped my authority. That's fine. I like getting her back here and getting her to say hello from time to time. What? I'm still laughing, Randy Radar. What was that caterwauling? And I think Mrs. Miller brought on a bad dose from Dave number 11 of Jesus. Yeah, I know. New year, new decade, new president, just plain new hope. That from Jeremy in Vermont. And here. James in Illinois says, my guess, the guy just wanted to hear his favorite songs before doing himself. Yeah, and the nuttery continues. L. Lynn Wood was right there. And L. Lynn Wood's first name is apparently Lucian. He tweeted, because my name is Lucian, I've read about St. Lucian of Antioch. He was falsely accused of heresy. Kyle Rittenhouse, by the way, this pettifogger represents Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle Rittenhouse lives in Antioch, Illinois. Kyle was falsely accused of murder. Dude! It's on video. He was not engaging in self-defense. You cannot shoot someone who is not threatening you and claim self-defense. And then, Anthony Quinn Warner is under investigation for the Nashville bombing. He lives in Antioch, Texas, Tennessee. Well, he used to. Bits and pieces of him were living all over downtown Nashville at the time, but, well, Lynn Wood, you do you. And you would think that somebody at Twitter would do something about this, but, well, we've learned that that really doesn't happen much, unless you're, you know, some sort of liberal. Lucian Lynn Wood saying, was an AT&T data center in Nashville destroyed by the bomb yesterday? This was on Saturday. Were AT&T cell or Wi-Fi signals which access Internet used in connection with Dominion voting machines? Asking for a friend. P.S. It is unlawful for voting machines to be connected to Internet. Well, okay, Lucian. Okay. So that's plenty crazy. And then the AT&T building in Nashville that was blown up today was owned by Cerberus Capital. I think that might be Cerberus. Owners of Dominion Voting Systems, the company many people are accusing of voter fraud, are former executives from Cerberus. Unless it's actually Cerberus. QAnon grabbed that from Tariq Nasheed and spread it like wildfire. Over on Parler, they are hopping up and down, the maggot monkeys are, and flinging poo for all they're worth. As Q says, there are no coincidences. This explosion has a lot to do with the electoral fraud crisis that we're in right now. You know, the electoral fraud in Tennessee, where Donald Trump won easily. Military black op missions going down in Nashville. I wonder if that was an NSA Patriot Act listening hub. I wonder, W-O-N-E-R, I wonder if it held Dominion voting records. I wonder if anyone's going to watch the explosion in slow-mo. And then when the guys announced that it's announced that there are pieces of the guy all over downtown Nashville, we get, sounds about right. COVID made him try to destroy evidence at the AT&T building where Dominion machines were being held for evaluation. I hope the plan of Democrats failed. Yeah. Total BS. Definitely military-grade explosives intended to destroy evidence in the AT&T building. By the way, why is AT&T conducting the audit and not a major CPA firm? That after the U.S. attorney announced that, again, Anthony Quinn Warner had made chutney of himself, or ceviche. No, but ceviche's not cooked, is it? Never mind. And so this is the level of pro-crazy. Dominion voting systems were not to go online in any way, shape, or form because it would have been illegal to do so. Not to worry, though. Dems can just blow up AT&T and wipe that evidence clean. And, of course, FBI has their back. Suspect dead in explosion. End of investigation. How sinister, and a graphic, how sinister weapon wipes out entire networks. 1. Missile launched from stealth bomber. 2. Missile follows pre-programmed flight path and is remotely controlled. The missile targets a building, disabling everything inside within a matter of seconds via an electromagnetic pulse. 4. HQ controllers observe targets being knocked out. And then, sort of putting a cap on all of the loopiness, Nitwit Nero had tweeted on Saturday,
"If a Democrat presidential candidate had an election rigged and stolen with proof of such acts at a level never seen before, Democrat senators would consider it an act of war and fight to the death. Mitch and the Republicans do nothing, just want to let it pass. No fight."
And, of course, somebody get this Twitter handle. At 9, little b, little b, numeral 2, little e, numeral 5, little c, 4-3, little a, 21469. No, that's not a bot. And why was AT&T in Nashville blown up? IT expert Haslin says Georgia voting machines were connected to China. Then AT&T building that covers Georgia is blown up. God, it was a switching hub. That's why that's why cell service was disrupted for AT&T customers all over Tennessee and in parts of other southeastern states. Jesus Christ. Missiles and Chinese hackers and And the explosion just happened to be at the AT&T locations, where they just so happened to control the cooling system for the supercomputer and house the Dominion voting machines and drives for forensic audit. If you don't know, Kraken is a reference to a supercomputer former prosecutor Sidney Powell has been talking about. Where the heck is the War on Christmas crowd? It's a war on Christmas, and this man is a terrorist for the Democrats. Destroying AT&T, Dominion's server evidence for voter fraud, and this guy, in the name of socialism, gave his life for it, which means he's a terrorist. All socialists have a War on Christmas agenda, so here I am. And it just goes on and on and on. This guy was used, Anthony Quinn Warner. AT&T hub server for Tennessee and Georgia and Dominion Information Center on server. Could be a dry run to knock down our communications so left controls the message on TV. They want to bring in communism. Pray! President Trump is fighting so hard for us to keep our freedom. Yeah, that's just how awesome he is. Because Nitwit Nero can fight so hard for us to keep our freedom and do it from a bunker on the back nine.
Can't I just throw this thing out of the sand? Hey, look, a squirrel. Damn, that was a great sandwich on my part. Sandwich. Can somebody get me a sandwich?
And it goes on and on and on. Destruction of AT&T, Dominion server, evidence of voter fraud, and the MSM want to put the sole blame on this guy. Nice try. We are nit buying it.
Nit. Wet.
Yeah. And so, blowing up AT&T. Lee in New York says, everyone knows the best way to blow up the equipment in a building is from outside the building.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, that's absolutely the best way to blow up equipment inside a building. By blowing up a couple of city blocks and damaging 41 buildings and ruining a little hostel. Well, it did knock some bricks off the AT&T building. I mean, okay. I've been watching this insanity all weekend long. Oh, my heavenly days. And from Breaking 911, latest Nashville bomber sent bizarre letter to Los Angeles woman detailing holiday plans.
Fake story. It was not the RV. It was a missile strike on AT&T building housing the computer cooling system. Also, where they got the contract to audit the voting machines.
This just in, Nashville bomber found inside of RV dies from COVID. Huh? There was no bomber whatsoever.
It was a SET missile specifically targeted AT&T building that was set to run a forensic test on Dominion voting machines. Remember, Dominion has sent nasty grams to a number of maggots saying, you know, preserve all your documents because we're going to sue your ass off. Yeah. So, bleh. This has driven the cucumbers. Thank you, Malloy. This has driven the cucumbers right up the vine. And so we do have some information, take it for what it's worth, from the Daily Mail in the UK. Revealed Nashville bomber Anthony Quinn Warner, which means that 63 years ago, his parents named him after Anthony Quinn. Now, this is pre-Zorba the Greek and pre-Lawrence of Arabia, but Anthony Quinn had already had a long and storied career by then. Might be interesting to find out why he was named, but probably there's no one around to explain that anymore. Revealed Nashville bomber Anthony Quinn Warner targeted AT&T after his father, who worked for a subsidiary, died of dementia, fueling his conspiracy people that 5G is killing people. Oh, it's the 5G cucumbers. He had apparently hoped he would be hailed as a hero for targeting AT&T, according to the Daily Mail's reporting, because he believed 5G cellular technology was killing people. They claim that as an exclusive. The 63-year-old computer tech, who died in the suspected suicide blast but was identified Sunday from bits and pieces of him, you know, DNA found in his mangled RV, was heavily into conspiracy theories, according to a source close to the investigation. Whatever that means. And, here's the other interesting aspect of all of that. Interesting is a relative word, but why isn't he, and this was alluded to in an email earlier, why are we calling him a suicide bomber but not a terrorist? Because there is no doubt in anyone of competent mind, there's no doubt that had he been darker or of a different ethnicity or even a different religion, that this would be the terrorist bombing of Christmas 2020. But no, he's white and he lives out in the burbs and he spends too much time by himself reading conspiracy pages on Facebook and who knows, 4chan, 8chan, God only knows. And so he was just suicidal. He wasn't really a terrorist. Even though everything about what he did had a terroristic angle to it. Explaining to the reporter or whatever insider for the Daily Mail, electronic devices have been sent to a digital forensics laboratory to unlock his online activity and find out where he discussed his warped views. We're waiting on the digital footprint that should finally provide us with some answers. The unofficial motive thus far is the suspect believed 5G was the root of all deaths in the region and he'd be hailed as a hero. And they did uncover the fact that his father, Charles B. Popeye Warner, died of dementia in July 2011 at the age of 78. He had worked for Bell South for his entire career. And at one point in time, Anthony Quinn Warner's mama sued him over property, I presume real property. His older brother, 62 at the time, died in September 2018 and did not leave a will. That's when Mama sued the son, saying that Anthony Quinn Warner had appropriated the $250,000 house of his brother under fraudulent circumstances. Mother Warner was actually seen on Sunday. And she had a sign on her property that said, "This is private property. Leave or I'll call police." Okay. I mean, the dude was bizarre. Okay, just bizarre. Because the property that he claimed, he then deeded over to a woman in California named Michelle Swing. She, in turn, stopped the dispute by deeding it back to his mother. And Mama refuses to talk about her son at all. Ay, ay, ay. So everything comes together to form a picture of a guy who was, well, what's the word here? Not all home. Well, that's interesting. Stockton Larry in the chat room says, maybe he was named Anthony Quinn because at one time Anthony Quinn claimed his father was an Irish revolutionary and all into bombing, I expert guessed. Well, why not? And of course, there's a great conversation going on in the chat room right now, if you'd like to wander by, nearly halfway into the program. If you do pop in, you will be greeted by the likes of Anatole and House of Roberts and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and Stockton Larry and Tim O and Will in Chicago, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although being a third-stage guild navigator, has determined he should not fold space and become man cave today, and capably assisted by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve, Brother Deacon Steve, from Georgistan. Yeah, it's a good time. See, back before I started the Daily Mail story, more importantly, Brother Deacon Asa says, more importantly, was the electromagnetic pulse that set off the explosion transmitted over Bill Gates' 5G cell antennas? And then about 3 minutes ago, Asa says, I swear I sent that last comment before you read the Daily Mail story. Check my timestamp. He did! Brother Deacon Asa would qualify as a PhD-level anthropologist in discerning the ways of the maggot. Absolutely. And so here we are. And, you know, nothing to worry about, citizen. It was just an ordinary, everyday, massive explosion in an RV parked on Christmas Day downtown in Nashville. Okay. Yeah. James in Illinois pointing out, it was explained that until they establish an ideology, he's a suicide bomber and not a terrorist. Yeah, I heard that too. It's just that I'm suspicious of that. Because I don't think Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, or Newsmuck, or any of those outfits would hesitate to call a brown-skinned person who blew up an RV a terrorist without a second look. so that's just, you know, me. But I feel confident in saying that. And so here we are, right at the halfway point of this Morion Monday. And while we didn't get around to the shenanigans that usually go with Morion Monday, I'd have to say it's a Morion rich Monday just because of all the Q goonies and losers and dead enders and hard cases who can't cope with the fact that not everything is a plot to keep them from having a president who won the minority of the votes be president not for just 4 years, but for 8. Jeez. And so here's the, somebody's having a blast at the IRA, Flavio notes, and that's the Internet Research Agency. The IRA in downtown Moscow or St. Petersburg. Yeah, that IRA. Yeah, they haven't had this much fun in ages. Jack in Shreveport points out, Nashville guy, today I heard one of the regular MSNBC commentators on bombing type stuff say that authorities had talked to the mother, contrary to the Daily Mail. Well, I think she would have to talk to them, more or less, and that she's just telling reporters to fuck right off. And a reminder, baseline crazy, James tells us, is always crazy. Well, yes, it is. So, breaking news. Darlene and Mark in Florida both pointed out to me that the House has successfully voted by the requisite majority to change the relief payments to $2,000. You know, the same $2,000 that people are getting every month in places like Canada. But Americans have to beg and scrape and humble themselves and wallow and scoot along on their bellies in hopes of getting much of anything at all. Darlene in Connecticut points out, I guess it was somewhat bipartisan, but we know what will happen in the Senate. Thanks, Moscow Mitch. Hell, maybe Trump can appeal to Vladdy, and Vladdy can tell Moscow Mitch to pass it. I know, says Darlene, there's so much wrong with that statement. And there is. Mark pointing out the House just barely passed the bill. 1/3 of Republicans against, 2/3 majority necessary. House currently voting on overriding the defense bill veto. That they'll probably have, it won't be quite so much of a squeaker. But the question now comes up because it has passed in the House, the $2,000 check. And the proof will be in the proof will be in the eating of the pudding. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. Thank you, Steve in New York. And watch. See if Nitwit Nero uses the bully pulpit. Because he has one. He's the president. That's why he has a bully pulpit. Other people really don't have a real bully pulpit. Nancy doesn't. Mitch McConnell doesn't. Supreme Court justices don't. The president gets a bully pulpit because he's the president. So now that the thing has passed, has anybody checked his Twitter feed? Is he, okay, that's great. Now, Moscow Mitch, go give those people $2,000. I have a feeling you're going to be waiting a long time, but thank you. Thank you, Mark and Darlene, for getting that information to me so quickly. I appreciate it. Like I said, we're about the halfway point of the program this evening. We have $290 to go in fundraising, and Jeremy got us started, getting us down to $295 on Thursday and down to $290 this evening. Hopefully Jeremy will have some company. and we will and we will end this week to the good. So thanks, Jeremy, for this evening. And with any luck at all, we'll knock down. Well, it'd be great to finish off the whole 290, but I just, you know, anything is good. Stop it, Bob. Lee in New York says, expecting Fox, Onan, Newsmax, and others to wait to apply the term terrorist implies that they have analysis and journalist rules. Insert Kenneth Copeland laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you know they say whatever they want. You're absolutely right. What's that, Randy? Pudding is poison, prior Horn abortion discussion reference. But, yeah. And that's the same, Flavio reminds us, that's the same $2,000 Ro Khanna has been voting for the beginning. That's a fact. Representative Ro Khanna, Democrat of California, had voted for it from the outset. Or at least advocated for it. True. Sheesh. And so, what a weekend, what a day. Missile strike, huh? Missile strike. And Nitwit Nero, having returned from golf, is apparently, I don't know, putting out videos, video retrospectives of the gloriousness of his presidency. No, really, I'm not kidding. I so sincerely wish I was. Images of him on the Truman balcony, waving, crossing his arms, giving that Mussolini look, Marine One flying toward the White House. Really? The beef? It's what's for dinner music? Aaron Copland? Rodeo? Really? But, yeah. I wonder if the Copeland estate will have anything to say about that. Trump stands for American jobs. Trump stands for freedom. Women for Trump, Latinos for Trump. Oh, there's the Trump Navy. Trump stands for American justice. There's Amy Covett Barrett. Oh, again with the jets flying over the stadium. Trump stands for our military. Oh, this is just pathetic. Trump stands for peace. And there's a picture of the Nobel Prize that he didn't win. Trump stands for our flag. Trump. He'd like to know what's for dinner. No, it says, Trump, he's what's for America. Oh, God. He tweeted that today. The campaign has been over for 1 month and 25 days. And he's, as George Carlin once remarked, check his calendar. But when it comes to Moran Monday, well, gosh, we would be doing a disservice if we didn't make mention of Louis Asparagus Gohmert. Yes, Randy in PA, hamburgers, it's what's for dinner. Louis Asparagus Gohmert has filed a new lawsuit because, Louis Asparagus Gohmert is a constitutional scholar. Not really. His lawsuit claims, and Louis filed it in his home district in Texas, where Trump won, where Louis won, And he filed a lawsuit in his home district in Texas because he thinks he'll get a home field advantage win, at least at the trial court level. And it references Arizona's alternate elector, Kelly Ward. And he says that the way that electoral votes have been counted by the Congress for decades and decades and decades, maybe a century or more centuries, that it's wrong and it's unconstitutional. And so Louis Asparagus Gohmert has, I kid you not, sued again, because this is the second one, has sued Vice President Mike Pencilneck Geek. According to Louis Asparagus Gohmert, in his lawsuit in his home district, when Mike Pencilneck Geek certifies the vote on January 6th and presides over the congressional tally, well, according, it's in the Constitution. They claim that Pence can throw out votes if he decides that's what he wants to do. And then the election's nullified and it gets thrown into the House. And yes. And then Nitwit Nero leads Merca further down the rabbit hole of Q for another 4 years. Don't blame me. I'm just reporting this. And so this is part and parcel of the story we had earlier about how Nitwit Nero is orangutanging Mike Pence, saying,
why can't you just make me president in the Senate? You just do it. All you gotta do is do it, and I'll be president some more. And I can keep scamming enough money to make my loan payments to my Russian friends.
Now, counter to that is the fact that some of these lawyers really bar associations. And in fact, Nitwit Nero went on a tirade against Dana Nessel, the Attorney General of the state of Michigan. Because that website that rhymes with light and fart reported that Attorney General Nessel in Michigan, as she should, is filing complaints with the Attorney Grievance Commission in Michigan because the raft of lawsuits filed contained deliberate misinformation, and because they represented filings only for the purpose of harassment or, you know, appeasement of a 75-year-old toddler throwing a fit in D.C. And that caused Nitwit Nero to lose his shit, you know, some more. So Nitwit Nero retweeted the light fart story. Michigan AG Dana Nessel pursues sanctions against lawyers who questioned the outcome of the November election. Nitwit Nero retweeted it and said,
Michigan AG Dana Nessel, these lawyers are true patriots who are fighting for the truth and obviously getting very close. AG should be sanctioned. Fight on.
But here's the fun part. Every time one of these lawyers, these patriotic lawyers, were asked the simple question, are you alleging fraud in the election? Are you making any specific allegations of fraud in the election, counselor? Every time the answer was, oh, no, I'm not doing that. We're not saying that. We're just appeasing a 75-year-old toddler throwing a fit in Washington, D.C. Now, we're not saying there was any fraud. I like my law license. I'd like to keep it. Well, good, counselor. Because, see, here's another one of those things that goes with all of this. Fraud is a particular, in the civil context, fraud is a kind of a special breed of allegation. Over the years and decades and centuries of the development of the Anglo-American common law that begins way back in merry old England, a concept develops with regard to fraud that fraud must be proved and pled with what is referred to as specificity. So while, let's say, if you've got a car wreck case where the red car rear-ended the blue car, you can plead kind of generally that the plaintiff suffered damages of a physical, emotional, yada, yada, yada nature, and that, generally speaking, the driver of the red car was negligent. Those are non-specific pleadings. You get into the hows and whys and wherefores in discovery. But because fraud is such a serious charge, you have to prove it and plead it with specificity. In other words, the defendant defrauded the plaintiff by, and then you lay out your list of details with specificity. And that's because, among other things, it comes with treble damages. That means whatever the damages in the fraud suit are, the court will award three times that much. And so you want to be careful with it. And it's reputational, too. But while they've hollered fraud outside of courtrooms, they won't even damned well whisper it inside one. But it really doesn't matter, because what Nero wants to do is to trigger some stochastic terrorism against people like Dana Nessel and Governor Gretchen Whitmer. That's all. And so, being as how it's more in Monday, enter Ted Pantsload Nugent. Now, you might remember that years and years ago, Ted said that he wanted to stick his machine gun in Hillary Clinton's mouth, the muzzle of his machine gun, and he yelled, "Suck on this, bitch." He also said that he would either be dead or in prison by the end of Barack Obama's presidency, and of course neither happened. And so Eric Bolling, who has his own history, appeared on the human pants load, because remember that's what he did when his country called upon him to serve in Vietnam. He tells the story of how he didn't change his clothes for a week and he just shit his pants and pissed himself and didn't bathe. And then he went in and they said, "Nope, sorry, you don't have to go to Vietnam." And he said, "Cool, because I want to be a rock star." And so here we are at the end of the year, and they're scraping the bottom of the pickle barrel over at Sinclair to find something to keep Emery and Marvoline eyes on screens as the plague year comes to a close. And so some producer there at Sinclair said, "Hey, I got a great idea. Let's book Ted Nugent as Jack in Shreveport reminds us. Ted Pantsload, that POS said he was going to leave the country if Obama won, but he stayed right here. And so get the hockey puck, because Eric Bolling and Ted Nugent had a great conversation about people who aren't patriotic.
On this special holiday edition of America This Week, United We Stand, I've been chatting with the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent. Ted.
I've been speaking with Ted Nugent, who hasn't had a hit since the 1970s and is pretty much relegated to the C-level state fair tour. But United We Stand, right, Eric Bowling?
I love hearing that Star-Spangled Banner. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the country. We only have a couple minutes left in this amazing show. Glad you're here. You see them kneeling when that song is being played. You see them disrespecting the flag that's on my chest and probably on your arm. What does that do to Ted Nugent?
Well, it makes me identify those people as being real soulless, real stupid. They don't even know what they're doing. I mean, they claim that somebody's hands were up and they got shot. That's a lie. I know the situation. I've studied those situations. Nobody's hands were up and nobody got shot.
Studied.
So the entire premise of that so-called protest is based on a lie. And they can't be that stupid. They know it's a lie. They're just liars. So when you see someone disrespecting our flag, they don't deserve any respect themselves, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
What?
Now, curiously, Eric Bowling did not bring up the business about shitting himself and pissing himself and not bathing himself for a week in order to avoid serving in the United States military in Vietnam. Because I guess it really doesn't work with the narrative that Ted Nugent is an uber patriot. You know. No, don't bring that up. And don't bring up the fact that his attempt at playing the national anthem on his electric git fiddle can't touch what Jimi Hendrix did. And don't touch the fact that he's a worn-out, has-been right-wing hack who's relegated to doing bits on Sinclair because he can't even get booked on Onan or Newsmuck or Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Soulless and stupid. I studied that. I know the situation. Nobody's hands were up and nobody got shot. Well, Ted, the whole hands up, don't shoot thing started in Ferguson, Missouri, when Michael Brown was shot and killed by police. Oh, and by the way, Merle reminds us that an Ohio police officer has been fired in the fatal shooting of an African-American man. We talked about this a little bit last week. Dateline Columbus. Columbus police officer Adam Coy was fired hours after a hearing was held to determine his employment. He gunned down 47-year-old Andre Hill for the apparently summary executable offense of holding a cell phone. And then he just stood there and watched Andre Hill die and didn't render any aid, no first aid, nothing. And it went on for minutes on end. In a statement from the Columbus police, they said the actions of Adam Coy do not live up to the oath of a Columbus police officer or the standards we and the community demand of our officers. The shooting of Andre Hill is a tragedy for all who loved him, in addition to the community and our division of police. Now, here's here's the joker in the deck for that. He of union, Coy does. They will probably sue. And for all I know, Adam Coy will get his damn job back and back pay. Winning! Police body cam footage shows Andre Hill walking out of a garage, holding up a cell phone in his left hand, and then Adam Coy just blows him away. There isn't any audio to go with it, though, because Officer Coy had conveniently neglected to turn on his body camera. Just like all the cops in the raid on Breonna Taylor's home just coincidentally all turned off their body cams before they broke into her home and murdered her in cold blood. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost will serve as special prosecutor in the death of Andre Hill. the murder of Andre Hill. And, of course, the grand jury will probably refuse to indict. This was the second killing by Columbus police recently. They gunned down, the Franklin County Sheriff's deputy gunned down Casey Goodson Jr. on the 4th day of December. He was summarily executed for, and we talked about this, carrying a sandwich. Yeah. But don't hold out much hope that anything significant will come of that. Right, no. Oh, Jeremy reminds me, Bob, you haven't mentioned the real tearjerker. You know, Rush, when he told his bobbleheads that he didn't think he'd live to see this Christmas and that we all have a time to die, and then cried on air about his wonderful, wonderful ditto monkeys. Wait, is that a tear? No, that's definitely not a tear. That's some seriously cheap rent, cheap ass, low rent dollar general stage 4 lung cancer that Rush has. Oh, and one more thing, and then I'll go to the phones. From the Wall Street Journal today, the damnedest thing, really. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back. Arnold messaged me, and I didn't see it because it was on my other device. Going all the way back to the playing of Mrs. Miller in Downtown. What the fuck are you playing, you crazy bastard? Okay, that's a cowbell. And yes, Ted Nugent is a scumbag. Can we move on? He's an irrelevant piece of shit. And he's pants full of it, apparently. But no, I ran across a story from the Wall Street Journal earlier today, and I just kind of took a moment to kick some furniture. Because you know how and they bragged. COVID Caligula bragged, and Rudy Giuliani bragged. Remember? Yeah, I got there, and they gave me this here monorail antibody stuff. And I mean, it's great. I feel better already. It works. It's a cure, I tell you. It's a cure. Remember? Sorry, the accent stuck for a minute there.
I feel great. They gave me the cocktail, and I've never felt better. I feel like Superman.
So apparently, for some people with COVID, the monoclonal antibody therapy... one comes from Eli Lilly, the other comes from Regeneron, and they have some pretty, well, I hesitate to use the term, but miraculous effects. And then, this from the Wall Street Journal headline, highly touted monoclonal antibody therapies sit unused in hospitals. I do not dare ask if this country can fuck up its response to this godforsaken plague any more than it already has, for fear that this country will then prove to me that the answer, oh yeah, we haven't even started. So the stuff was allegedly in short supply, but hospitals have it. Sarah Toy, Joseph Walker, and Melanie Evans reporting at the Wall Street Journal, medical centers overrun with critical COVID-19 patients are using just a fraction of allotted supplies of the monoclonal antibody treatment. And the lead paragraph says that doses are sitting unused in hospital pharmacies even as cases surge. December, by the way, was the most deadly month for COVID-19 thus far. January may well, probably will, be deadlier. Hospitals, the story reports, say the rollout of the therapies has been stunted by a lukewarm response from infectious disease specialists who say they want more clinical trial data before using them on a regular basis. Now, bear in mind, these things have been given an emergency use authorization. Medical centers are also grappling with a lack of awareness and interest from both the primary care doctors who would normally prescribe the drug and patients who are offered it. And some places are dealing with a shortage of space and staff to administer the therapies. And that goes hand in hand with something I heard, and this is strictly anecdotal, bear in mind. But I was told that, like, babies who have a regular vaccine schedule that they have to follow in the, you know, when they're newborns and, you know, a month old, 2 months old, 3 months old, etc., can't get their childhood vaccines on schedule because the hospitals are dedicating their space to being able to keep the COVID vaccine cold. I don't know if that's correct. It's just something I was told. But apparently, infectious disease specialists, well, you know, we don't really know if this works. And yet at the same time, some of these doctors, I'm sure, are the same ones who are saying, now fire them up with some aquarium cleaner. That might work. Anybody got a UV dildo we can try on them? This is infuriating. At one time, the story goes on, it was said that there simply wasn't enough of the things, of the stuff to treat the people who badly needed it. But it just couldn't be produced fast enough. I think we were talking about that last week. Well, now, just 20% of the doses that hospitals receive each week are being used. Now, bear in mind, that's from people associated with Operation Warp Speed, who might have a motive to lie, being as how they're associated with the Maggot administration. Michael Eisen is an infectious disease physician at Northwestern Memorial Hospital in the Chicago area. And he said, physicians are not ordering the drug. They're just not ordering it. And, well, the Northwestern Memorial Hospital system was supposedly helping to lead the monoclonal antibody rollout in the greater Chicago area. And that system, that Northwestern health system, Northwestern Memorial Hospital system, encompasses some 10 hospitals across northern Illinois and the greater Chicagoland area. He went on to say, Dr. Eisen did, that there's not much demand from doctors in the Northwestern system, and patients aren't all that interested. Well, knock wood. I hope people in the Horn Family Community Congregation, and the first hope is that we don't get it, you don't get it. But if you do, ask for it by name. Give me the same monoclonal antibody therapy you gave to Trump. Don't argue. Just get the IV. And Dr. Eisen went on to say that physicians don't really can't tell which patients will benefit from it. Oh, for pity's sakes. So, the monoclonal antibody therapy from Regeneron and Eli Lilly. Daniel Skovronsky, Eli Lilly's chief scientific officer, said the emergency use authorization is based on a standard of data, which is different than the normal drug approval. On the other hand, we're excited about the potential that we've seen in our clinical trials, particularly we saw reduced hospitalizations and emergency room visits. Although it was a small trial, Regeneron had almost the exact same kind of impact, a different molecule but the same mechanism. Over at UW Medicine, Sharisha Donaretti, an infectious disease doctor in Washington State, said they mostly aren't using the monoclonal antibody therapies at University of Washington Medicine. They're just not routinely using it because they decided the benefits were too uncertain and administering the drugs would add additional strain on healthcare workers. Oh, for pity's sakes. And so Washington State, Chicago, greater New York area. Nothing in here about whether the hillbillies are getting it. How much do I want to bet that the answer is, well, entirely predictable? Jeremy in Vermont says, therapy? I can tell you who won't benefit from getting it. One, two, three. People who don't fucking get offered or given it may all die. Yep, it's really hard to benefit from the monoclonal antibody therapy if you're dead. The stupidity may be deadlier than the virus itself. So, by the way, the vote to override, or the vote to, not override, the vote to give the $2,000 checks in the House was 231 Democrats yay, 2 nay, 44 Republican yay, and 130 nay. That's 130 MAGAs telling Donald Trump to just fuck off, that they're done with him, even if they can't out loud congratulate, even on a most basic handshake basis, Joe Biden for winning. And the House also voted to override the veto of the National Defense Authorization Act. And on the Pentagon funding vote, something on the order of over 100 Republicans voted to override his veto, because going back home to the district and explaining that your loyalty to Donald Trump was more important than family members serving in the militaries, well, you just don't want that all over the ads 2 years from now when you're trying to hang on to your maggot seat. And now both have to go over to Mitch McConnell. He'll take up the override, but he probably won't take up the $2,000. And he'll need 67 votes for each. Now, the Senate seems to be an equally maggoty place. Can he get, 20 Republicans to challenge Donald Trump directly? I mean, this is going to be real interesting for people like Lady G in South Carolina. I mean, Lady G's going to have to vote to override his veto, too. And there's already a report that the only way that they could get Nitwit Nero to sign the damn bill for the $600 was to flatter him. No, really, I wish I was kidding. They had to tell him that there were things that he could brag about in the relief bill that would make people feel good about him and make him feel good about himself. Lindsey Graham was one of them who was fluffing him to get him to sign the relief bill. And now Lindsey's going to have to turn around and vote to override him on the defense bill. Oh, poor Lady G. What will Cornyn, John Cornholio in Texas, and Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, do when the rubber meets the road on the defense bill? 'Tis a puzzlement. Down in Texas, speaking of which, Governor Greg Abbott is determined that that more Texans must die. And so in hot spots, he's still not willing to impose any sort of significant countermeasures to protect the public. Doctors, nurses, and other healthcare workers petitioned Governor Abbott and said there are several steps that can be taken now that, as an enforceable mandate, would slow the avalanche descending on our local hospitals. And the very same day, Greg Abbott said, statewide, there will not be another shutdown. And he still won't enforce the mask mandate that he put in place last summer. Just getting more tools won't mean anything. They need to be enforcing the protocols in place right now. Jesus Christ, that's straight out of the NRA. We don't need more gun laws. We just need to enforce the gun laws we got now. But the fact of the matter is, what was put in place before hasn't worked. And Texas is getting worse and worse and worse. Spillover from Texas, say, at the far western end, southeast New Mexico, is just burning with COVID carryover from the far west of Texas. Stupidity is a no-kidding vector of the disease. And Robert in Australia says, speaking of stupidity, meanwhile, here in Sydney, things have gone to pot. The northern beaches are in lockdown, meaning people who live there should be at home. Under the title of What Is It With People Who Think They're So Special They Don't Have to Isolate Like Everyone Else, a dozen northern beach residents were caught at a wedding in the Sydney CBD by police. Each will be fined $1,000. A man in Melbourne and a woman in Perth were arrested after attempting to escape hotel quarantine. And traditionally, backpackers have a party on Bondi Beach on Christmas Day, but the beach was closed this year, so approximately 300 had a Christmas Day party on Bronte Beach instead. It's been listed as a potential super spreader event. The immigration minister is looking at canceling the visas of any overseas visitor present and sending them home for threatening public safety. New South Wales recorded 7 new cases of COVID-19 overnight. 6 of those cases are directly linked to the Avalon cluster, and 5 of those are already in isolation. Avalon is one of the lockdown northern beach suburbs. Victoria recorded no new coronavirus cases and 1 case in an overseas traveler. We opened our overseas borders. Whose dumb idea was that? That's Robert. Queensland recorded no new coronavirus cases. And with New Year's Eve on Thursday, the New South Wales government has decided to go ahead with the New Year's Eve fireworks. Facepalm. Access to the harbor foreshore is to be blocked, and other locations are invite-only with limited numbers. We'll see how all that works out on the night. I'm expecting a lot of people will just go anyway, and 2 weeks later we'll see new outbreaks all over the city and suburbs. Signed, Robert, in Oz, in isolation. I know it's hard, Robert, but damn, you've done well. And you are, you know, you are an absolute example to us all. Same with Carol Baker. Has not been out of her house since March. And she's taking care of her young son, seeing to it that he stays healthy and survives this along with her. And for the people who got it right, there should, by God, be some sort of recognition when all this is over. Thank you for being, you know, thank you for being an example. Thank you for demonstrating the how-to on the use of your great big primate brain. While tens of millions of Americans are galumphing along on their tippy toes using their much too big lizard brains. As to military funding, Jeremy asks in Vermont, does this override mean that we'll get to see the bases named after the traitors that should have all swung by the neck renamed to non-traitors after all? Yes. That's primarily why he vetoed it. Because, well, when your daddy was a Klansman, you don't like being reminded that the people who gave birth to the Klan were, you know, traitors to the country. I don't think they can take that out. And that might make things even more complicated, you know, in the Senate. Suffer, you Republican bastards. Suffer. Long night of the soul and all that stuff, and you got to soul search and decide which is more important, the American people or your goddamn weird-ass cultish religious devotion to a orangutan. Oh, yeah. I hope Republican senators are gobbling Tums and Rolaids and doing Mylanta shooters like there's no tomorrow. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch. And so we've entered the third hour of the program. I've been filibobstering for 2 hours and 12 minutes. And we are still at $290. Thank you, Jeremy. And hopefully before the evening and the program ends, we will take a bite out of that so that we're not looking at $590 tomorrow. It sure would be helpful. And let's pop over and check in on the Skype line with Scott in San Diego. Hey, Scott.
Bonjour, Monsieur Thibault.
Wait a minute. I think we've got a problem here.
Okay.
Now talk.
Monsieur Thibault.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Much better. You're actually on the air.
Bonjour, Madame Thibault. Those are the two characters in my freshman year in high school French textbook.
I could have almost guessed.
I wish I still had the records, the 45 RPM records. Or no, they were 45 size, but they were 33 and a third. And you had the textbook, and you had the records, and you had the classroom. And I don't remember anything but cravat, chapeau, and je ne sais pas, along with Monsieur and Madame Thibault.
Oh, that's like my an old friend of mine who says all he can remember from his high school Spanish, which he thought was an incredibly racist text and course, was La pistola está en la maleta. The pistol is in the suitcase.
Oh, the gun is in my pocket. No, I'm happy to see you. No, that isn't right. Say it again. That sounded good. I may start using that.
La pistola está en la muleta.
All right. No, it works. Now, I don't want to come across, Bob, in the waning days of the year 2020 as an evildoer or a vindictive or a small person. I don't want to do that. But with that little item that you passed along about El Rushbo weeping and gnashing his teeth on the airwaves, you know, trying to wring a few final bucks out of his listeners, I'm not a particularly religious man anymore, but I'll tell you what. I am lighting candles and doing novenas and saying rosaries because I want that dumb son of a bitch to live at least until noon 01 January 20th, because I want to see him see an actual president and vice president sworn in. And then he can just go off into oblivion for all I care. And if that makes me a small, mean, angry right-wing person or left-wing person, then I guess I am.
This program is non-judgmental, Scott. So I'm not here to judge you.
Okay.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of tears among a lot of people. What will be, and we need to get ready for it. What will be there is when it finally happens. We need to be ready for the major news networks to offer up glowing, nausea-inducing praise for that bile of hate and filth and garbage.
Well, he changed media, don't you know? He was an American
innovator.
Innovator, yeah. Do you think they'll try to get him to be able to lie in state in the rotunda?
Considering his history, I think he'll be lying whatever he's doing.
Well, yeah, that too. Give yourself a cowbell, Bob. That was...
Well, thank you. That was really easy.
Well, stranger things have happened. I mean... from the last State of the Disunion address up in the balcony. Didn't Melania hang a congressional medal or whatever the fuck that was?
Yeah, he's got the Congressional Medal of Freedom.
Yeah. I just and civilians have been in, have been. Who was it that was it Rosa Parks? It was somebody that was able to lie in state in the rotunda that wasn't like an official person.
Oh, you're giving me the horrors just thinking about it.
Well, this is the world we live in, Bob. Craziness abounds. I don't need to tell you this. This is not a fucking news flash. And by the way, let me take a right turn here. A divergent conversational path. And thank you. Give you an old tip of the rabbit ears for playing Mrs. Miller. I don't think there's enough Mrs. Miller on the radio. And I heard her. I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was in Alexandria, Virginia. I was a kid down in the basement playing with the old AM radio, listening to WEAM 1390, rock and roll radio for the nation's capital and environs. And the evening DJ was a guy named Jack Alex. And Jack Alex, I don't know, I guess the music director said, play this. This will be good for a few laughs. Capitol Records came out with an album called Mrs. Miller's Greatest Hits. I still have it somewhere around here. And on the back were liner notes by Gary Owens, who at the time was a DJ somewhere in Los Angeles. And I heard old Mrs. Miller, and I said, well, this is... certainly an early sign of the end times, and she would whistle. And on the back in the liner notes, Gary Owens details that to get that high-pitched whistle, warbling whistle that she did to accent her songs, she'd get a mouthful of ice before the recording session, which I guess puckered her up or something, tightened up her inner cheeks or whatever, as it were. And she just whistled the birds straight out of the trees. Ah, the memories you stir up, Bob, I'm telling you. It's like a second childhood.
Well, didn't she also perform on Carson?
She may have, but that's hard to tell because all the pre-1972 tapes of the Carson show were erased by the National Biscuit Company, to save a buck.
The accountants did it.
Yeah, there was another. What was it? There was another. Oh, the Groucho Marx, the You Bet Your Life.
Yep.
Almost ended up in a landfill or dumped in the East River. Had not someone stepped in to save those films, because that was a filmed program. I don't know. Let me see. I got a name for the guy down in Nashville, formerly of Nashville, Tony Q. Old Chutney Warner. That's his new nickname.
Wait a minute. Oh my God. Quinn begins with Q.
Yeah, Tony Q. Old Chutney Warner. Here lies.
But it all makes sense now.
Yeah, of course. There's a Q in there.
Well, the AP is reporting that he told a neighbor by the name of Rick Laud. He said, you know, we were just talking, and Rick Laud recalled a conversation that he had with Q. Warner. The Associated Press, in an interview, Laud said he was speechless when he realized who had done the bombing. And so, you know how people talk in full-grown adults, you know, they use sometimes, you know.
He was such a quiet man.
Well, so Laud asked him back before Christmas, so is Santa going to bring you anything good for Christmas? And Warner smiled at him, Anthony Q. Warner, and said, oh, yeah, Nashville and the world is never going to forget me.
Jesus.
And Laud said he only thought that meant that Anthony Q. Warner was saying he was going to have more or some financial good fortune. Nothing about this guy raised any red flags, Laud said. He's just quiet. I just knew that he was just a recluse.
He was such a quiet man.
Right.
Yeah, never heard a thing from him. Jesus. Those are the ones you've got to watch out for, is how it works out, you know?
Yeah, and remember, just because you didn't vote doesn't necessarily mean you're not a maggot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the
statistics in a place like Tennessee alone, I mean, just working from what we've talked about here on this program and my little life here in West Virginia, if there are 10 people in a room, odds are 7 of them are maggots.
Well, and the thing is, if he's that far off the twig to do something like that, and I'm not a paid professional shrinkologist, but I don't think it's much of a stretch. I'm not going out on any limbs here diagnosing from afar. You know, if he's that far off the fucking twig to do what he's alleged to have done, because it takes some planning. You know, these people are not stupid, nor are they lazy. They're probably some of the most industrious clowns on earth. They'll sit and tinker and plot and plan and write out things and stuff for months. Who knows how long this was in his head? It's just... And it's frightening.
Well, have you heard? I'm just curious because I have you heard anything as to the content of the explosive charge?
No, not that I've heard.
Because you know, it didn't take long, or it seems like it didn't take long, looking back for 1995, for us to find out that Timothy McVeigh had used a rental truck filled to bursting with ammonium nitrate and fuel oil explosives. Same thing they used to blow up mountains.
And since that occurred, lo, those many years ago, there are very strict record-keeping requirements. Whenever there's, I mean, unless he bought a quart at a time, if that's what he used. But who knows with these people?
Well, the reason I ask is because propane is a powerful explosive too. And those RVs are rigged to run on propane cylinders.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
There could be the central heat propane. The stoves can be propane. And so if he was an electronic, and this is pure shameful speculation, but if he was an electronics expert and you know, he was an IT guy and he'd installed burglar alarms and things like that, you know, he'd know a little bit about wiring things. Initially when they said that cops got there and then realized it was going to blow, and I figured they had smelled propane, because natural gas and propane has an additive that is put in it to give it a characteristic stink that is unmistakably nothing but propane.
I used to know the name of that stuff. That's how you know that.
And so I was wrong about that. I assumed that the cops smelled gas, and you know, you smell gas, you get the hell away. Not slowly, but carefully. So I'm still very curious to know what the accelerant was, what the explosive was in that blast, because you know they did manage to recover enough pieces of the RV, and when you're thinking about looking for things in pieces after an explosion like that, you really do have to have some respect for the level of detail involved. But they found the VIN to the RV, and they matched it to the VIN of his registration. It was the same RV that we've all seen photographs of sitting behind a wooden fence.
Well, apparently what alerted the authorities were reports of shots fired.
The shots fired was and we still don't know if they still don't know, me and that mouse in my pocket, they still don't know if that was actually connected. They suspect it, but there was a shots fired call. They got there. There's no shots fired. And then the RV is playing Petula Clark's Downtown.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but God.
Well, I will forevermore hear, well, for a long time, anytime I hear that song, I hear Mrs. Miller instead.
Oh, well, that's the definitive.
It's just an occupational hazard.
Hers is the definitive Downtown.
But then it cut away to the recorded announcement of a machine female voice saying, "This vehicle is going to explode," or some such.
Yeah. Yeah, and a countdown. An electronic voice countdown. God damn. But see, this is the frightening thing. This is where I was, not to give them any ideas, but you know that there are grievances. Even if you had Festivus Week instead of just the day of Festivus, the festival for the rest of us, you couldn't encompass and jot down all the fucking grievances that these people have in the wake of this most recent election. I mean, the grievance carrier in chief is not, he's still ranting and raving. He's, you know, I wonder if Melania gave him a pair of Humphrey Bogart style Captain Queeg steel balls to roll around.
Well, it'd be the only balls he has.
Well, there you go. Cowbell number two, Bob. Come on down.
Well, remember, that was a joke, but by the same token, there's some element of truth to it, too, because he has taken Propecia for years. And that is the generic name for that is finasteride. And it'll grow your hair back, but it'll lay waste to some testicles.
Yeah. And God knows what it, you know, does to the inside of your head. I don't put nothing on my head but a baseball cap and shampoo at different times. Because you don't want a lot of crazy shit soaking into your skull, you know? Hold on here. Go ahead.
No, And Jeremy in Vermont adds, so the QAnon freaks are claiming that the explosion in Nashville at 6 a.m. Christmas morning from the camper bomb was actually a missile strike aimed at the AT&T building to destroy Dominion voting machines, since their god Donald J, the J stands for Missile Strike Trump, has claimed AT&T worked with Dominion to steal a vote from him. They say the message changed 3 minutes out to reflect the remaining time. I wonder if he didn't kill himself first, and that was the gunfire heard, and it was literally all automatic after that. Oh, that's actually pretty, that's pretty brilliant deductive reasoning there, Jeremy.
Might have been. Well, I don't mean to be Mr. Newsflash tonight, but those who were around at the time remember in the mid-80s, the breakup of the old Bell system by court order, Judge Harold Green, after, God, 20 years of litigation.
I knew someone who was involved with that litigation, and she said it was just a horror.
Oh, yeah. And I was working for an AT&T Baby Bell at the time. I transferred from D.C. out to Kansas City. I was working for the old Southwestern Bell. And it was just a world of hurt for us because divisions and departments were split up. We were in an AT&T building, and after the breakup, we had to go to a Southwestern Bell-owned building. It was just a fucking nightmare. But where I was going point-wise was, I believe, if I'm recalling correctly, one of the things that either allowed or disallowed AT&T as a corporate entity to do was to either get into computers or get out of computers. I forget, it's been so long, and somebody can look it up.
Oh, God, you mentioned in those Baby Bells. And let's see, when I was growing up, it was South Central Bell, where we were. And up here was C&P Telephone.
Oh, yes, that's where I grew up.
Cumberland and Potomac.
Virginia, Chesapeake and Potomac.
Ah, Chesapeake, yeah.
CNP of Virginia, CNP of D.C., CNP of Maryland, and CNP of West Virginia. Yes. Or as we used to call it, chipmunks and perverts telephone.
We weren't that creative.
Yeah, well, we were chipmunks and perverts, all of us, back in the day. Back in those long ago, halcyon days.
Halcyon. And there's a Calliope playing. Halcyon.
Okay, you take what you want to take, and I'll take what I want to take, okay?
And if you get there first, anyway, you make a mark, and if I get there first, I'll rub it out.
All right. Wait a minute.
Yes?
Yeah, I had to cough there. I don't know what the deal is. I got up late today. You know what woke me up? I had the fucking recurring radio nightmare.
Oh, no. DJ's nightmare?
Oh, back in my first radio job. And I've had probably 50 different iterations of that dream over the years, and that's what woke me up today. I'm not even going to go into
it. You push the button, the music won't start, you got dead air, you're freaking out, you're trying to get something going, the cart deck doesn't work, the turntable's busted, and you're screwed. Well,
this was like groupie night or remote gone wrong night in the dream. And I'm still, I don't want to remember. I'm sure my brain is processing shit that should have been addressed years ago. But God damn, I don't need that now. I didn't even watch It's a Wonderful Life this year because I didn't want to cry at the end.
Oh, I got my good Christmas, my It's a Wonderful Life official Christmas cry in. And then I cried harder because I realized that I had been duped into watching the colorized version.
Oh, no. You got to watch that in black and white. I did watch A Christmas Story about the Red Ryder BB gun because that was a little teary at the end, but nothing. See, it's been such a hellacious year thus far that if I had really broken down, if I had started crying mildly at the end of It's a Wonderful Life and the bell ring and Zeus petals and all that, I'd still be crying. It's not like I'm, you know, eating my feelings or whatever, but I just don't want to risk it until it's safe to do so. Because how many more days left do we have of the tangerine tinted tub of toe cheese?
Yeah, you were afraid if you started, you just couldn't stop.
Well, yeah, something along those lines.
It'll it'll an avalanche of tears.
Well, and it's a lot of us, and I can only speak for me, but a lot of us have been maintaining and trying to have, you know, maybe it's the British part of my gene pool, you know, stiff upper lip and all that stuff.
Hanging on in quiet desperation.
Yeah, you can only do that shit for so long. And I've seen signs where it has started to get to me a little bit, but not to the point where I would lose it. And I just didn't want to risk losing it because I lose it very well, thank you. You know? One time I lost it to the point of being out in the backyard throwing lawn furniture and screaming obscenities at no one in particular. And I don't want to go down that road because that got me a little week-long trip to the happy home, Bob, and new meds.
Where life is beautiful all the time, and you'll be happy to see those young, nice young men in their clean white coats.
Because they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. You're taking us back to the 60s. You're a fucking K-Tel record package all on your own, Bob.
Well, we try.
It's happening right on cue.
Well, okay, so we got a question from Flavio. So was the breakup of the Bills a good thing or not? Was the telephone company a virtuous monopoly, Lily Tomlin notwithstanding? One ringy-dingy, two ringy-dingy.
Well, I've got a book that I would recommend that will answer that question and many more. It's called Exploding the Phone. Do I have it nearby where I can give you the author? No, I can't really read the spines of the book from here. It's a book about 8 or 10 years old, Exploding the Phone. And it's probably one of the best histories of the telephone service in America that I've ever read. I heard about it on C-SPAN one day, and I said, I got to read that book, which I did, and I've reread it, as a matter of fact. In my own personal opinion, it was a protected beneficial monopoly at the time, but it opened up possibilities for other companies to get into the telephone and the communications business.
I don't think we would have seen the proliferation of cell phone technology had that monopoly stayed in place.
No, we wouldn't have. That's what I'm getting at. That and the stuff that are like the fucking iPhone that I'm holding in my hand as we speak. We probably never would have seen that and advances in computing. So yeah, I think ultimately, it was a good thing. If nothing else, we stopped seeing all those 10-10 long-distance carrier commercials. Or we started seeing them, and then they went away. I think it was U.S. Sprint that came up against the Bell system, and I think that was one of the pivotal lawsuits once upon a time, which led to the eventual breakup.
Because Sprint was spawned from GTE, I think.
Yeah, I believe there was a connection.
And GTE, for instance, was, and this is just how weird it was, long, long ago when we lived in the wilds of yet another rural West Virginia county, the county next door was, well, by then, AT&T. The county we were in was GTE. And Kentucky, for some reason or another, was largely provided by GTE. And they were a hot mess. Arnold points out that as of 7 to 10 years ago, AT&T was the largest purveyor of pornography in the Southeast.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean,
yeah.
Well, even before the internet caught on, there were the 900 numbers.
Oh, and Jesus, yes.
That all generated big bucks for the various carriers.
Oh, long distance toll calls that cost them not a nickel. to connect. They just did it because they could. By the way, we have to backtrack to Jack.
Okay.
Backtrack, Jack. Don't you, never mind. Your query about Rush Limbaugh and lying in state. Will he lie in state in the rotunda, Jack asks? As you said, he will lie. That's a certainty. But he will not quite make it to the rotunda. He'll only make it to being rotund.
Well, that too. That too. He'll lie in state under Louis Gohmert's desk for a reasonable period. Or who knows? They'll probably have some kind of special thing. They won't be able to do anything official, but you know his groupies will do, you know, in the House and Senate will get on the front
steps
of the Capitol.
Mr. Speaker, I rise this morning to mark the tragic passing before his time of that great American, Rush Limbaugh. We all remember how bravely he defended Cape Girardeau, Missouri, from the Viet Cong because of that pilonidal cyst upon his rectum.
Rectum down there killed him.
I was waiting. Good for you.
There you go. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to check with something like that to make sure that the universe is in proper running order. Rectum, damn near killed him. But honey, this one's eating my popcorn. Yes. Sorry.
But anyway, I just we're not going to get a break in 2020.
No,
there's going to be a carryover.
It's going to scream all the way to the end, and then 2020 will continue for 20 more days in January.
Yeah. And even a little beyond that, because I guess you've heard the headlines where they're rediscovering their inner deficit hawkedness.
They're
for the past 4 years, it's been just a fuckathon in terms of, anything goes, Wild West, shoot 'em up. But they're because it served their purpose. They didn't want to make, King Crimson. What's another word for orange? The demented circus peanut. They didn't want to risk the ire.
The Jacinth. Wait. The Jacinth jackass. Jacinth.
I believe that's it. Ain't that a color in the big box of Crayolas, Bob?
I think you got to buy the whole 64 before you get to Jacinth.
Oh yeah, the old stadium seat box with the Shopna in the back. Ooh, that was coloring.
But something just occurred to me. I was saying, it's going to continue for 20 days. Never before have I seen greater significance in the Martin Luther King Jr. national holiday. That holiday will fall on Monday, January the 18th. So, in many ways, maybe that's an even more fitting farewell and don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you to Donald Trump. Because that will mean that there's at least one more day of racist bullshit with which he can further confirm to the sane and decent people of this country that he is a complete and utter poltroon, a 200-proof turd. Because he will. He almost has to.
You fuckers, I'm having to leave now. Well, I'm not celebrating this goddamn holiday. My daddy was in the Klan. My daddy... And he'll come... No.
Well, the thing is, it's like January 20th will be an important day, but don't let it go to your head. There is going to be residue and shit from these past 4 years. You don't shift that completely, that quickly. We're going to be paying the piper for this folly you know, even beyond, well, I mean, I'll never see the end of it. To some extent or another, we will be paying this piper, because we, a certain number of us, were foolish enough to call for that dance. And the piper, well, he knew it. He played it. We danced to it. They danced to it anyway. And the piper's, you know, hand is extended, palm up. And a little silver must pass that palm. And it's, you know, and I'm hoping for nothing but the best as we begin a new administration in not too many more days. But it's going to be some rough going.
Well, and the bottom line is, and I think it's part of what is got so many people feeling so much agita, is that we sit here, and like I said earlier, we bite our nails down to the damn quick, anticipating whatever it is that January 5th is going to bring, because that's going to be the... That's the momentous cherry on top of the momentous whipped cream on top of the momentous ice cream sundae that is electoral politics in 2020. You know
well,
what?
All the chips will be on that number, because that's the last official moment that any rat fuckery can take place.
And you and I
and
both.
They're not going to miss that for the world. You know that.
No. We had the story last week. Hall County, Georgia. It was Thursday. Hall County, Georgia, where the number of early voting locations was cut by half.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as of January 6th, the maggots are planning one last gasp display of disease-spreading assholery. Women for America First, Stop the Steal, Proud Boys are all saying that they're going to be headed to D.C. to scream, Stop the Steal, Stop the Count, whatever, outside the Capitol.
So
Nitwit Nero actually promoted the goddamned insurrection by tweeting over the weekend,
it's the biggest scam in our nation's history. See you in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Don't miss it.
That was yesterday. This guy's actually trying to foment a goddamn revolution.
Well, didn't he tweet, it'll be wild?
He may have.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. But we've got listeners in the D.C. area who have lived there for some time. When was the last real big up-to-your-nuts blizzard, like crippling blizzard in the D.C. area? Aren't we due for one of those?
I'm trying and to remember. It was since 2012, maybe 2014-ish, because I was at a Radio Row in D.C., and I had to get up that morning, and I was supposed to drive to Harrisburg, you know, just a brief little jaunt, to meet up with my buddy Rick Smith. Mm-hmm. And that turned into a 6-hour traffic jam infested, snow covered nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so when I got up to get out of D.C. that morning, there was, you know, 3 or 4 inches of snow already on the ground. And D.C. in that kind of quiet is just weird.
Well, it's spectral.
Yeah. It's almost apocalyptic.
Yeah. There's a beauty and a quiet to it that you seldom see. But as long as we can get the senators and the House members in to do their jobs on January 6th, I would like to see a blizzard just put the kibosh on whatever they've got planned for January 6th, they being the Trump people out in the streets. You know, because it's pretty hard to take it to the streets when you can't see the streets. Well, you can't drive on the streets.
I am confirmed. Megan tells me it was in 2014. Huge snowstorm all along the Atlantic coast. Couldn't go to work for a week. Yeah, it was it was a mess, and I sat in traffic. I sat in traffic watching my gas needle go lower and lower and lower and lower, because you know somebody had lost it, and there was a huge pile up, and both lanes of traffic were stopped. God, just south of York, PA.
Okay, God.
For something like 3-4 hours. I remember because I was periodically on the phone with Agnes. Made, you know, gotten anywhere, honey? No. And that was the day that I discovered that magnificent little restaurant in a nondescript cinder block building with gas pumps outside at the last exit in Maryland. And I got gas, and I got the most beautiful creamy crab soup and crab cake sandwich that I've ever eaten in my life. And it was, I was driving a rental. I was driving a rental. It was a Chevy HHR, which I have referred to from that day to this as a go-kart. And so, you know, didn't have all-wheel drive, just front-wheel drive, and it was real skatey.
Yeah. see, I don't miss all that mess. I mean, I miss it. I miss the seasons, and I even miss the snow sometimes, and I didn't like snow all that much. You know, especially when I had a paper route, an early morning paper route. Are you kidding me? Getting up at 5:30 or 4:30 in the morning or whatever, trudging up to the corner. And because them papers were heavy back in those days. That's when newspaper advertising and editorial content and features and shit. You have a Sunday paper that you could, if you wrapped it tightly enough and struck a person in the head the right way, you'd kill them. You'd kill them, motherfucker. You surely would. But, Jesus. Now today's, when did these papers get skinny? Like the width of them?
When they started firing reporters.
Shit, I remember newspapers. I've got newspapers from the olden days.
I bought a Saturday, you know, I bought a Saturday Charleston Gazette. I try to buy the paper every day, but I bought, and it's cut down. It's about 2/3 the width that it used to be. And I don't, and granted, it was a Saturday paper, but Jesus, I don't think it was more than, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't think it was more than 10 pages.
Jesus. See, that's the sorry state of print journalism in this country. See, and that's the other thing, Bob. And I warned about this to whoever would listen, you know, 15, 20 years ago, as things were beginning to migrate on to cyber versions. If all it takes, if all the content that you need is electronic, there's only a couple of switches that have to be thrown in central places, like, oh, I don't know, Nashville, you know, to turn the lights out. Literally and figuratively.
Sure, and I hate where I've been taken at this point in time. It's, you know, it's 2020, and Agnes and I are sitting there watching the coverage, and I, you know, this surely does look like a, you know, when we heard about the impact on the wireless communication system and everything. You just get after a few, you get to the point where it's almost unavoidable that you say, that certainly does look like a warm up for something.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you the horrors just thinking about it. And then you're kind of ashamed of yourself for even thinking it.
Well, you know, it's all about rat fuckery. If you've got followers and people in strategic places who can make mischief, then, you know, chances are if they can do it, they will do it. And they don't give a fuck about consequences, you know, because they are serving their bigger purpose.
Yeah, we don't got no stinking consequences.
Yeah, and it's, you know. And I hope to God that there's no more copycats of this shit. But then again, in your heart of hearts, you know what's possible. Because if you've been around long enough, and if you've read up on history, you know that there's history doesn't repeat itself, but as Twain remarked, it so often rhymes. I think it was Twain.
Twain said, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme.
Yeah. I always like it when you confirm that at least some of my brain cells are still viable and banging together as they should.
Oh, I think we all need that from time to time. And by the way, Randy and PA asking, who will be seated initially in the U.S. Senate? The January 5th elections won't be decided. Well, those elections won't be decided, but the others will. And so this Congress ends on Monday, January the 3rd, a week from today. That's the official end of it. Everything introduced that wasn't passed is dead. History gone. And so with it ending on the 3rd, the election on the 5th, and then the certification on the 6th, well, at least in theory, the Republicans will be down 2 votes. And, of course, you know, the first order of business will be the certification of the election. And that means, and because of the way Congresses end and begin, that is why the Mike Pence, Solneck geek, will preside in the Senate over the vote certification on the 6th. Because technically, the Senate will be leaderless at that point.
No, it's been leaderless for a while now, Bob.
Well, I mean, you know, I get sure.
You know, I mean, yeah, there's been somebody inside of a suit that shows up and cracks the whip to get his minions to jump through flaming hoops, but that ain't leadership. That's fear and craziness. Well, is there a happy note we can end on? Because I always hate leaving the family in a
Let me see here. Now, Steve in New York says Loeffler will be in the Senate on 1-6 because she's in a special election. Not quite sure how I understand that, because the special election was for a term that's, I don't know. We'll save that for another day.
Well, wait a minute. She filled the seat of old Numbnuts, the first attorney general, didn't she?
Huh? No, that's Alabama. That's Sessions.
Oh, I'm in the wrong fucking state.
No, Kelly Attila the Hun Waffler filled the unexpired term of the Georgia senator who was adored by Republicans and Democrats alike for the fantasticness of the barbecue that he put on every year. But he had to bow out because he was getting sicker and sicker and sicker, I think, from prostate cancer.
Who was that?
See, there's a reason I wasn't using the name, Scott.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind.
Well, no, let's ask Mr. Google. Who did
Mr. Google?
Loeffler,
I hate to bother
replace.
You, Mr. Google. I hate to
John, Senator Johnny Isaacson.
Oh, Isaacson, yes. Yeah. There's a name. I remember him. Has he gone on to his reward?
Don't know. Maybe not.
Well, I wish him nothing but the best until even the best doesn't work.
Well, now he's not in this—he's not in the Senate anymore, so at least he's not. But they do miss his barbecue down at 12, down at Fair Oaks, or 12 Oaks, or whatever. And Lady G would bring the juleps from the ancestral estate up there in South Carolina, stand of smoldering chode. Yes.
Is she wearing her finest hoop skirt, Bob?
Oh.
Does it swish when she passes by?
Oh, let's leave the swishing out of this. Thank you to Jeremy, Jeremy jumped back in and said, you know, if you count the GoFundMe, I'm now officially part of the 4 and 400. That you are. Right, you are. Thank you, Jeremy. So I think that gets us down to 280. So we're finishing the program at 280. But thanks for being the lone voice crying in the wilderness this evening, Jeremy. It's much appreciated. Scott, I got to roll out of here, buddy.
All right, baby. You take care of yourself. And Horn family, you all take care of yourselves. And if I don't talk to you between now and the end of this godforsaken year, happy New Year.
Oh, no. We're New Year's Eve on the front porch. What are you talking about?
Oh, are we? Okay, good. Good.
Yeah, because good. There won't be a program on the 1st, so we'll have a front porch on Thursday.
God, but 2 o'clock in the afternoon is awfully early for me to fire up the old Grey Goose machine. I don't want to be, but that would be fun. That would be fun. Fix one of my good old-fashioned ice-cold vodka martinis with an olive.
What you need for your annual New Year's vodka martini, you need a jar of Henry's olives from way far north of you, up in Humboldt. That would make a fantastic vodka martini.
Is that store that has all the delectables?
No. This is a proprietor at the Humboldt County Farmers Market that Dave Number 11 put me on to, much to my delight.
Yeah, I like those olives. And you make it
a dirty martini with just a little bit of the olive juice. Yeah.
Oh, always, always. And olive the size of a bulldog's eye. Mm-mm. That's drinking. All right, Bob.
All right, you take care. Later, Scott.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And so we come to the end of this Moran Monday with an abundance of them. There's nothing like a bomb going off to bring out the Moran maggots. I think Randy points out the president pro tem of the Senate used to be Chuck Grassley. I think he still is, assuming he's still alive. Last we heard of him was him saying, I'm going into quarantine because I've got the Rona, and I haven't heard anything of him since. That was a couple of weeks ago. But I think he's technically still president pro tem of the Senate. Yeah. So thanks all of you who, with your subscriptions, PayPal and Patreon, and your a la carte contributions, help keep this program on the air. Thank you so very much indeed. It's the only way this program continues to exist. And I cannot thank you enough. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new, fresh Malloy at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The best place to listen to Malloy in the first run is at headon.live. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Get well soon, Ben. Ben's 2020 is leaving and kicking Ben's ass all the way out the door. First, he broke his knee. And now he's got foot problems, was in the hospital earlier today. I hope he's gotten some relief. Get well soon, Ben. You are a dear part of this entire operation, such as it is. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And please remember, when you purchase things from Amazon, if you go to smile.amazon.com, you can nominate Coal River Mountain Watch as the recipient of your donor dollars, and a small portion of your purchase will go to Coal River Mountain Watch, and it is a tremendous help, costs you nothing, but you actually get to have done some good while enriching Jeff Bezos. So consider that, please. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Oh, what's this? As the proud owner of a Chevy HHR go-kart, among others, I'm here to tell you that you couldn't have been renting one in 2014. They stopped making the damn thing in July 2011. They wouldn't have rented you a three-year-old car, you bastard. That's from Brother Deacon Asa. In which case, I'm guessing it was probably a PT Cruiser, because the two are easily confused. And confused is anyone who, well, never mind. Love you, Brother Deacon. Please, like I said earlier, December was the deadliest month for COVID of the year. January looks to be even worse. Please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. No matter how badly you want to, stay away from amateur night on Friday. Leave that to the amateurs, and, you know, get up and have a nice dinner or something for good luck on New Year's Day. Friday. I meant Thursday night, but, you know. And again, we will have a thorn in the side porch Thursday for New Year's Eve, so I'm looking forward to that. But the best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you can't stay home, and God knows it's understandable, then do all you can to stay safe when you're out and about. Wear your mask. Wash your hands as often as you can. Don't touch your face. Carry your hand sanitizer with you. Use it liberally. Maintain your social distance, 10 feet between people with masks on. And for someone who doesn't have a mask on, you can't be far enough from them. That God, in places like this, Texas, Alabama, whatever, it's almost impossible not to be confronted by people with masks, and that's why those states are on fire. For God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, they took down that, they was trying to take down the Batman building with a stealth missile, avoid that person. Agnes just said, what? Avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.
Good night, everybody. Stay safe.